Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. For all those who might not know, my name is Raymond. And today, we're going to learn on how to engage our whole life into worship. And we'll be referring to Romans 12, 1 and 2, that was beautifully read by Jane. I'm going to share with you a story. And it shows that when we apply these verses in our lives, it changes us. It renews us. It transforms us. And it allows us to know God's good and pleasing will. And the blessings we receive not only impact our lives, but have an impact on others as well. The story starts in India. It's around 100 years old. Don't look at me like that. I'm not that old. But this story is very close to my heart. And in fact, it's the very reason I stand here before you as a follower of Christ. Let's look at this photograph, which should soon be on. Kelvin, could you help me on that, please? Yeah, great. It's a bit dark on this one, but on the monitors at the back, it might be much clearer. The little boy on the right, sitting in the front on the right, is my grandfather, a born Muslim. The lovely lady sitting in the middle is Miss Purnell, a missionary from Great Britain, who engaged her whole life into worship. And everything we'll be learning today, from transforming our lives to worshiping God to renewing our minds, could all be summed up in Miss Purnell. She was immensely blessed, and many people came to Christ through Miss Purnell, and my grandfather was one of them. What people saw in Miss Purnell's lifestyle attracted them to Christ. They saw that she was helpful, she was kind, she was loving, she was caring, she was welcoming, she always had time for others. And the most visible an important aspect that could be seen clearly in her was the way she worshipped God in her daily life. My grandfather accepted Christ when he was around 15 years old. For him, being a Muslim and a Hafiz Quran. Now, if you don't know what a Hafiz Quran is, a Hafiz Quran is a Muslim who recites the Quran by heart at a very early age. So for him, being a Hafiz Quran to knowing the Bible would have been a very difficult decision to make. But God bless his soul. He chose the truth. He chose the right path. He chose the light over darkness. And he chose our very own Jesus as his Savior. But all this happened only due to the obedience, due to the love, due to the care, due to the worship of Miss Purnell for Jesus Christ. Her vision for sharing Jesus with others. And you could see how it has shown my family the truth, the light. And I stand here before you as a testimony, as a second or a third generation Christian. So you see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we apply these verses in our lives, it sets us apart. It makes us stand out. People could notice the difference. We will be a source of inspiration. So my brothers and sisters, in the same way, when we will apply these verses in our lives, we will not only notice the changes in ourselves, we will be a source of inspiration to one another. We will be a source of inspiration to the lovely people of Gillingham. We will be a source of inspiration to the United Kingdom, and we will be a source of inspiration to the whole world, like the missionary legacy of this very nation centuries ago. And how God used this nation to spread his word around the world. And God did not just choose this nation for the sake of it. The obedience, the love, the generosity, the kindness, the time this nation had for God and one another was the main reason that brought blessings upon this nation. A nation so blessed that God blessed other nations through this very nation. So I ask each one, let's ask each ourselves, what has happened to a nation so blessed? Where is all that love, that care, that kindness, that time we had for God and one another gone? This is something we need to reflect on. This is something that we need to think about. So please hold this thought in your daily prayers. When we pray daily, keep this thought in your mind and ask God, where does he see us in reviving God's love, reviving the love for God in other people's hearts? Where does he see us? What role do we have to play? So please keep this thought in your mind. Remember, our body is intended to be a temple of God's Spirit. Let's present it in such a way that is holy and pleasing to God. And this is exactly what the missionaries of this very nation did centuries ago. Let's build on those foundations they laid for us. Let's follow their footsteps. Let's make the Bible our guide, our lifestyle. Let's engage our whole life into worship. We might think we're already doing this. I come to church, I sing, I pray, I do my bit, I help out. What else do you want me to do? What else can I do? But I ask, let's ask ourselves, does God only bless us on a Sunday? Does he stop blessing us from a Monday to a Saturday? And if the answer is a no, then let's start continue to worship in our daily lives. Let's start continue to bring God in everything we do. Let's continue to worship God when we are scattered during the week. And if we are already doing this, which some of us might be, that's brilliant. That's an ideal situation every church would like to be in. But let's open our eyes. Let's face the truth. Let's face reality. This does not happen. We forget God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm guilty of this as well. Let's see what Paul in Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 has to say. Let's read it out. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we notice, Paul starts with a therefore. And whenever there is a therefore, there is something behind it. And in this case, the therefore is there because he transitions from heavy duty theology in the last 11 chapters to the practicality of things, to the practicality of life. He transitions from creed to conduct. He transitions from belief to behavior. He says, in view of God's mercy and in view of God, what God has done for us, let's offer ourselves. Let's be the same to him as he is to us. We will never be able to repay him in any way. Paul truly believes that we have really not learned the word until and unless we have lived the word. That's why each week we do say to bring our learning into practice. Otherwise, what good is that learning to us if we don't bring that learning into practice? Let's share our learning. By sharing our learning, we are spreading God's word. So we ought to do all this. So brothers and sisters, our bodies are intended to be temples of the Spirit of God. Paul is appealing to us that he says we are justified by grace. We have the hope of heaven. We are overflowing by the Spirit of God. And whoever we are, whatever we are, and however we are, we have God's great promises. And based upon all of this that God has done for us, Paul says, I am begging you, I am urging you to present your life to the God who can change it for the better. The God of all possibilities who could change the impossible to a possible. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says to present yourselves to him. I ask you, is it possible to do anything without the help of God? We might think yes. I work hard throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. I have worked hard, we might think this. I have worked hard to get a new house for myself. I have worked hard to get a lovely car for myself. I work hard day and night to have lovely holidays. I work hard to stack up a bank balance for my retirement. Where is God in all that? That's me working hard. But I ask you, if God did not give us the health, he did not give us the energy, he did not give us the willpower, the courage, the strength to go out and work in the first place, would we have ever been able to do this? The answer is a big fat no. And that's the truth. We are nothing without the help of God. God is our everything. And the sooner we realize this, the better it is for us. So the most reasonable thing for us to do is to present our lives to the God who could change it for the better. To present our lives to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. A God who, of all possibilities, who changes the impossible to a possible. The God who is the perfect God, our living God. But remember, we are from this world. The choice is ours. He has given us the free will to do whatever we want. And the choice is ours to go to God or not to go to God. To present ourselves or not to present ourselves. That's our choice. And that's why Paul says, God can change us. We are the ones who need to present ourselves in the first place to him. It can't happen just one way. So brothers and sisters, we need to present. If we want ourselves to be changed from the inside out, it's not going to be a one-way ticket. It has to be both ways. We have to ask God to work in our lives. We have to let God work in our lives. We need to allow him to work in our lives for him to make a difference. But remember again, the choice is ours. It's not going to happen if we don't take that step forward. It's not going to happen. And believe you me, if you truly do this, we say, God, here's my hands, here's my legs. I'm presenting my body, myself to you, God. The sky is the limit. The sky is the limit. We might think we are useless, we are worthless, we are nothing without God. And that's true. That is a fact, that we are absolutely a big fat zero without God. However, we might like to think that, yeah, we can do everything, but we can't. The Bible is full of stories that tell us when we present our lives to God, he changes it for the better. Let's look at some stories. The womb of Sarah was barren. But when that womb was presented by her husband Abraham to God, it produced a nation. So it's like one of these ads, before and after. When that womb was presented to God by Abraham, it produced a nation. So it shows when we present ourselves, when we can't do anything on our own and seek the help of God, He changes it. He changes the situation. Let's look at Moses. God tells Moses, I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh and get my children out of Egypt. God could have done that by himself. But he used Moses. He wanted to use Moses. Moses turns to God and says, God, I lack the capability to speak. I lack the capability to gather words. And you are asking me to go to the authority, to go to Pharaoh and speak to him. I cannot speak to ordinary people and you're asking me to go to the authority. How is that possible, God? But my brothers and sisters, when Moses presented himself to the God of all possibilities, God used that very mouth for him to stand against Pharaoh. And he took his children out of Egypt. So you see, God can change things. But the choice is ours. We need to go to him. So brothers and sisters in Christ, our dress, our posture, our actions should all be for the glory and honor of God. So let's present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Let's present ourselves to the God of all possibilities and let him do the work. In the same way, how should we worship? How should we worship? I'm no scholar. But worship is songs, 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 and more songs. Is that right? Or is there anything more to it? Our vicar last week explained worship in such a beautiful way, and each one of you contributed as well. So worship is indeed much more to songs, songs, and songs. Let's see what Abraham Kuyper defines worship as. Worship, he says, worship must be the one grand royal action of our whole life. In all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we are always God's priest, called to serve his holy purpose. It's that one grand royal action of our whole life. In all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we are always God's priest, each one of us. Called to serve his holy purpose. In fact, worship cannot be restricted or confined to a small little space. Worship is simply our connection to God. It's as simple as that. Our connection with God. The singing, the dancing, the music, the paintings are all forms of expressions of worship. Worship is simply keeping it out of the box and concentrating on that one big, great connection to our God. God wants that through our bodies, through our lives, and through our every act, His holy name be glorified. In our eating, in our drinking, in our walking, in our talking, in our living, in our dying, in everything we do, we praise and worship God in a way that all through our lives, His majestic name be glorified. So brothers and sisters, God is always with us. Remember, He loves us. He will never forsake us. In Isaiah 49, verse 16, it is said, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. He knows each one of us by name. What a lovely God. What a loving God we have, who knows each one of us by name. So let's remember, let's be faithful to God. Let's remember, God is faithful to each one of us. And He wants that we remain faithful to Him as well. Let's be faithful to Him in worship. The reality is that during the week, we get busy with our families, our friends, our jobs, and the social pressures of society make us get disconnected from worshiping God. Then we wait for a Sunday to get reconnected. We start with a prayer, a few songs, confession, a few more songs to get reconnected with God. And sometimes if the songs are not according to our liking, we don't enjoy it and we feel we are not reconnected. But let's ask ourselves, do we really need anyone to connect us to God? Sorry, music group, I'm not saying songs do not connect. It's a beautiful way of connecting, but that's just one way of doing it. Should our connection to God not always be there during the week? Should we not be worshiping God the same way as we do on a Sunday? Should we not be engaging our daily life into worship? And if your answer is yes, then let's start doing it from right now, this very moment. Let's thank God daily for all his blessings, day or night. Let's seek God when faced with difficulties. Let's pray to God unceasingly. If we help, let's just help. Let's not take over. If we teach, let's stick to our teaching. If we give encouraging guidance, let's be careful. We do not get bossy. If we are called to be in charge, let's not manipulate. If we work with the less fortunate, let's not get irritated or depressed by them. And always keep a smile on our face. Let's love each other from the core of our hearts. Let's not fake it. Let's be good friends to each other. Let's not burn out by the evil of this world, but keep ourselves aflamed by the Spirit of God. Let's be alert servants of God. Let's not quit in hard times, but let's pray even harder. Let's bless our enemies and not curse them. Let's laugh with our friends when they're sad, when they're happy. And let's cry with them when they're sad. Let's get along with each other and put our egos aside. Let's take the first step to be friends with each other. And let's not hit back at anyone. Let's not try to judge anyone. Let God be the judge. Let's include all of this in our daily life. And then we will not only be worshiping God, we will be respecting his creation as well. We can then say, we do not need anyone to connect us to God. Because all week long, we have tried hard. We have done our best to stay connected with God. Imagine what would it look like gathered together every Sunday, already connected to, and how greatly will we feel, how deeply will we feel the presence of God. Imagine how amazing, how beautiful would our worship be. So brothers and sisters in Christ, when we worship, when we present ourselves to God, we are exposed to the truth. Our minds are renewed, transformed every day, every week, and every month. All this is easier said than done. It sounds good. It sounds easy, but we need to be practical and disciplined. If I want to play the guitar as good as Sarah or Graham or anyone else out here, I just can't pick it up and start playing. I'll need to practice it for hours, days, weeks, years. And only then I might be able to become an expert. But for that, I need to be disciplined. So you see, we cannot expect results without being disciplined. In the same way, to become true worshipers of Christ, we need to be disciplined in Bible study. We need to be disciplined in prayer. We need to be disciplined in fellowship. We need to be disciplined in sacrifice. We need to be disciplined in our welcoming. We need to be disciplined in evangelizing. And remember, we are in this world are only temporary. Our everlasting life is there in heaven. So let's remember that the world's standards are not our standards. The world's values are not to be our values. The goals our co-workers and neighbors have set for their lives are not to be goals for ours. Our goal should be very clear, to set our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. And only then, all of this will bring about a change in us. It will renew our minds, and these worldly things will not be of any importance to us. We will be transformed like a caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. And we will be able to discern the beautiful will of God as we will be walking in His glorious will. Brothers and sisters, walking in God's will is not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. The world will try to pull us down. The world might get jealous of us. But if we stay put and stick to our teachings, as I said before, we'll be a source of inspiration. It will set us apart. We will stand out amongst the crowd. Remember, God's teaching is supreme. We need to bring it into our practice. I'm going to end now with a quote from Dwight L. Moody. He says, "Christians should live in the world, but not be filled with it. A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she goes to the bottom." So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink. God bless us all. Amen.